Washington, D.C., to our friend Derek Wallbank, who is the Washington correspondent for the Min Post. There's so much happening in Washington, D.C., the story everyone's talking about. Good evening, Derek. How are you?
Hey, not too bad, Cheryl. How are you?
Well, Representative Weiner resigned today, just a couple of hours ago, 2.5 hours ago or so. What's the talk in Washington about all of this?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because he quit out at a news conference in his home constituency now, and I think the first thing people were doing when they were watching this, it was announced earlier today he was going to be doing it, and so a lot of people were gathered around the TVs to sort of see it, and I think a lot of people were saying, well, this is sort of the conclusion, but a lot of other people were marveling at the fact that there were hecklers there who were shouting obscene things, and it just, every single thing in this story, Cheryl, has been absolutely bizarre. It's been, you take a somewhat bizarre story and you ratchet up the weird.
Well, ratchet up the weird. I love the phrases you come up with, Derek. I was watching it here in the studio this afternoon, and I thought the same thing. I'm listening to this heckler, and I'm thinking to myself, really? I mean, the guy can't even get this out without having somebody after him again. The hecklers, I heard some reports that the heckler was from Howard Stern's show. Is there any knowledge of that, or somebody just said that?
No, that's pretty much what the reports I'm reading are saying too. I guess at this point somebody's really got to take a look and go, all right, well, this is, you know, if somebody puts Howard Stern show on their press credential application, perhaps we'll give that an extra layer of scrutiny. I mean, I don't really know what's going on. I mean, your listeners may recall the last time that we had one of these things for Anthony Weiner. He was late to his own press conference, and Andrew Breitbart, the right-wing blogger, jumped up onto the stage at the invitation of some of the press and held his own mini press conference right before, where he called on Weiner to apologize to him. And it's just bizarre. I can't really think of another word for it because, Washington, D.C. is not a town unfamiliar with sex scandals, although there wasn't apparently any sex in this sex scandal. So it's a scandal over Facebook and Twitter and virtual cheating and all sorts of weird press conference antics. I mean, I think if it were a movie, it'd be rejected because it was just too off the wall.
Well, this may be one of those cases of, you know, you just can't write this stuff, and yet we've watched it play out in front of us. A lot of folks are saying that he resigned, of course. There's apparently no resignation letter yet that I'm aware of, but obviously he publicly said he was resigning from office, but it didn't sound quite like he was closing the door for good.
You know, there's the thing with politics is that in many, many cases, the American people are a very forgiving sort with actual proper contrition, and people can come back from these sort of things. There have been people who have said, you know, I had this scandal, I'm going to resign, and run in the very special election to replace myself. And let the voters decide. The one that really comes to mind right now is there's Senator David Vitter, a Republican from Louisiana, was embroiled in the D.C. Madam case a little while back. He ran for re-election, and the Democrats put up the strongest guy in the state of Louisiana they could against him, and he got blown out. Vitter won. Vitter's the senator again, and the people of Louisiana didn't seem to mind. So, anything can happen.
Well, and interestingly, a lot of his constituents, folks who were talked to and polled, they said they didn't mind. They said they were ready for it. But the calls from his own party members and party leaders were certainly strong and loud.
Well, I think part of I think there's two things that are there on this one, Cheryl. One is that. We're living in a little bit of a different media world now. The news cycle is really sped up. It's all now. We don't have to wait till the next day's headlines because we see them 5 minutes after the story happens. So that's one of those things. There's a more intense following, and all of the minor details of this were cataloged And the second one is that as this kept going and going and going, every single additional development put more and more and more pressure on him to resign. If he just cheated on his wife, he actually might have been able to survive this. I'm not really trying to sound callous. He might have been able to do it. Then he lied about it, and that got worse. And realistically, as soon as something emerged with the word 17-year-old, and he was going back and forth with a 17-year-old in Delaware, although how explicit that was, you know, they say it wasn't that bad. As soon as the word 17-year-old came out, that was pretty much the straw that broke the camel's back, and the expectation here changed from could he hold on to when would he go. And I think that when would he go has been the guess for about the last week or so here.
What is the talk around Washington, D.C. and among your fellow reporters that folks were too hard on him? Were we all too hard on him?
No, I think he's an idiot.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, you know, this is the thing. I'm not trying to be a judge of what anybody else does in their personal life. And he and his wife and their coming child are going to have a heck of a go of it. Because if nothing else, I mean, I think we've got to remember that an in utero infant, when it gets born and grows up, is going to be able to go on Google and see all about the stupid, nasty stuff Daddy did. And so that's really tragic with this. It really gives me pause with all of this stuff. But, you know, I don't really know what else to say to it than the advice that I give college kids, which is, if you make a mistake, for the love of everything, don't document it.
Well, and it's so true. And of course, an old friend of yours here in town, Kelly Rossman McKinney at Truscott Rossman, was on the show about a week ago, and we were talking about this. And I said, if he were your client, what would you tell him to do? And she said, you know, own it, apologize for it, and then shut up.
Kelly Rossman McKinney, I should say, is one of the greatest press strategists in the Lansing area, and she is absolutely right on. I mean, that's the thing that you do. You don't go hold meandering press conferences about this. You certainly are on time for your own press conferences. I mean, every single thing about this afterwards has been completely mishandled. If you're going to go out and you're going to do a full interview with anybody who wants one, to sit down in your office, you don't lie about it. Because, you know, if the House rules are pretty clear about this. You know, if you bring disrepute upon the House of Representatives, technically that's grounds for somebody doing something. But that never happens. It's if you use your House of Representatives offices and you use the official instruments of being a legislator to do naughty things, that gets you kicked out. And holding press conferences in your Washington office to go lie about it it kind of takes it to cut and dried, really.
Is there any talk about his next move? I mean, have you heard any rumblings?
Well, I know a lot of people, given the fact that he is very, very good as a public speaker, really want him to go into cable TV. You know, that's the route that the former New York Governor Elliot Spitzer took. And Elliot Spitzer may actually provide a little bit of a case study for Anthony Weiner, because Spitzer was beloved in some circles and then he got caught up in that client number 9 prostitution sting. But now his rehabilitation is going. That some people are talking about, well, what could he run for this time? I mean, you know, no one's ever dead and buried in politics, really, until they're dead and buried. But I don't know. I mean, it's going to take a long time. And really, right now, I think a lot of the talk here is centering around funny jokes made about his name and what are the tabloids going to be saying about it in New York tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of creative things that obviously spring to mind. But really, for me, I'm sitting there looking at, as a new dad myself, this guy's got a kid on the way, and he's got a family. And And I can't imagine being in that situation. And my heart really goes out to his wife and his coming child.
Well, and his wife not standing next to him. Frankly, I approved of that.
Nor should she.
Yeah. Well, thank you, because that's what I was going to say. She wasn't there when he was doing this, and she didn't need to stand there next to him for this part of it either.
That validation thing is always a little bit creepy, isn't it? I mean, you know, and the thing is, it's to each their very own. If someone really wants to do that, that's fine. But I think that the era of a politician sitting there and propping up their wife as if they're a random piece of background art is thankfully drawing to a close. I think a lot of people find it repulsive and repugnant. And you just cheated on her with goodness knows how many people. You know, why does she have to be some piece of background art to try and make it look good? All the thought in the world for her and what's an unspeakably difficult decision of to stay with him, just not with him. And I don't envy her one little bit.
Well, and I do. The bottom line is, as you're saying now, and I will reiterate, I do hope for their sake as a family, if they can put this together and or keep it together, if that's what they choose to do, and all the best to his wife and coming child. Derek, as always, love your insight and perspective on what's going on there in Washington. It's never dull.
Oh, it never is it?
It isn't. I hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bye.